So we have been discussing for a while how many mishmarot, how many night watches there are in the temple. And the reason why that's important is that the Gemara and the Mishnah, when they deal with the specific times that you're allowed to say Shema, the first opinion is that the nighttime Shema may be said until the first Ashmura, which means until the first night watch ends. If there are three night, the night is 12 hours from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. in theory. And if there are three night watches, then you have until 10 o'clock to say Shema. But if there are four night watches, you have until 9 o'clock to say Shema, because it means that each one is 3 hours or each one is 4 hours. So it makes a difference how many night watches there are. And we're up to a new manifestation of that debate. On page 1, where I marked. Tanu Rabbanan, the rabbis taught, Arba Mishmarot Havei Halayla. The night consists of four watches. Divrei Rebbe. That's the opinion of Rebbe. Rebbe Natan Omer, Shalosh. But Rabbi Natan says there are three watches at night. And now they're going to bring their sources. My Ta'ama, De Rabbi Natan. Where does Rabbi Natan get the fact that there are three watches at night? How does he know that there are three watches at night? He quotes a verse from the book of Judges. Vayavo Gid'on Umea Ish Asherito. Gideon came with 100 people that were with him. Bikzea Machane. At the edge of the battlefield, Rosh Ha'ashmura HaTichona, at the beginning of the middle watch. And therefore what? The beginning of the middle watch. It means it has to be an odd number. There must be a middle watch. That's what the Gemara then derives. Tana. Ein tichona ela sheyesh lefaneha uleachareha. It can only be called the middle watch if there's a watch before it and a watch after it. So now that seems to be very good evidence for Rabbi Natan. What does Rabbi do with that verse? How does Rabbi interpret that verse? So Rabbi says it's no big deal. Rabbi, my tichona. So, according to Rebbe, what does middle watch mean? Achat min atichona shebatichonot. It just means one of the middle watches. Meaning it could still be four watches. And there are two in the middle. So, according to Rebbe, it'd be one of the middle watches. V'Rebbe Natan, and then Rebbe Natan would respond to Rebbe, Miktiv tichona shebatichonot. Does it say that Gideon stood at the beginning of one of the middle watches? No, it says in the middle watch. It means there has to be a middle watch. Tichon aktiv. It just says middle watch. That's all it says. So, that can't be. So, but in any event, we conclude that that's Rebbe Natan's source. What about Rebbe's source? My ta'ama de Rebbe. What is Rebbe's source? Amar Rebbe Zrika, Amar Rebbe Ami, Amar Rebbe Yoshua ben Levi. Rabbi Zrika said in the name of Rebbe Ami, said in the name of Rebbe Yoshua ben Levi. Katuv echad omer, chatzot laila, akum lahodot lach, al mishpatei tzidkecha. In Tehillim, specifically Tehillim 119, Psalm 119, Kufiyotet, it says, I shall arise to praise you in the middle of the night. Chatzot halayla. This is King David saying, I get up in the middle of the night at chatzot. That means midnight, 12 o'clock, to praise you. Much later in the very same psalm, there's another verse. V'katuv acher omer, kidmu einai, Ashmurot. My eyes look forward to the future watches. What does that imply? More than one watch, right? So the second, so one verse says that when King David gets up at midnight and he looks ahead, it means there are multiple watches ahead of him. And therefore, it must be that there are four watches. Because in the middle of the night, if he looks ahead, there are two more watches to go. If there are only three watches, well, he's already in the middle of the second one. And when he looks ahead, there's only going to be one watch left. So that's a presumably Rebbe's source. How would Rebbe Natan respond to that? For Rebbe Natan, Savarla ke Rebbe Yehoshua. Rebbe Natan holds, like Rebbe Yehoshua, against this view. And now we're going to explain Rebbe Yehoshua's view. Ditanan Rebbe Yehoshua Omer, Ad Shalosh Sha'ot, Shekein Derech Melachim, La'amod B'Shalosh Sha'ot. Rebbe Natan holds based on the following principle. According to Rabbi Yehoshua, the morning Shema may be recited at up to 3 hours into the day, right up until 9 o'clock a.m. That's the morning Shema. because that's the normal time that kings arise. Shekein derech melachim la'amod b'shalosh sha'ot. Kings arise at 9 o'clock in the morning. And so that's, you know, the assumption is that kings wake up later than everybody else. And so that's the latest time that anybody would possibly wake up, 9 o'clock. And therefore, we're allowed to say Shema, you know, to say Uvkumecha, to say the morning time Shema when you wake up. It's reasonable to say it until 9 o'clock in the morning. When King David says, but King David wakes up at, anybody? We just saw it in the psalm. Midnight. King David wakes up at midnight. So when he says, Kidmu Einai Ashmurot, when he says, I look forward to the future watches, meaning the other watches where I'm the only one who's up and the other kings are not up, he's not only referring to more watches at night, but the daytime watches as well. So the word Ashmurot, even though watches is plural, it doesn't necessarily mean that there's more than one watch left at night. Because King David could be including therein the watches that are going to come during the day as well. That's what it's going to say in the Gemara. Shis delilia vetarte deyamama. 6 hours are left at night. Kidmu enai ashmurot refers to the 6 hours that are left at night. Vetarte and the two the two extra hours of the daytime. Havulahu shtei mishmarot, and that's going to be two watches, namely the one that's left at night and whatever begins in the morning. Rav Ashi says that's not necessarily the case. Amar mishmara upalga nami mishmarot karulahu. Rav Ashi says that Rebbe, who holds that there are four mishmarot, could still hold, sorry, Rebbe Natan, who holds that there are three mishmarot, doesn't need to use this kind of convoluted way of approaching the extra mishmarot, but rather, Rav Ashi says that according to Rebbe Natan, one watch and a half is also plural. It doesn't need to be two to be plural. It could also be one and a half to be plural. So let me just step back. We're looking to, Rebbe says that there must be four watches at night because when King David wakes up at midnight, he says that there's a plural number of watches ahead of him. And so therefore, there must be two after midnight, which means four in total. Now the Gemara comes up with two ways that Rebbe Natan can understand those verses. The first way is by saying that King David is not only referring to the two watches left at night, but rather one watch left at night and one watch that's going to begin in the morning. Then Rav Ashi says, you don't even have to go that far. You could say that King David is still referring to two watches at night, because a watch and a half could also be considered plural. And that's exactly what's left at midnight if there are three watches.
All watches have to be equal time?
Yeah, all watches are equal time. Well, otherwise it wouldn't be fair, because the watches are the guards of the shifts that the guards in the temple took, the Kohanim in the temple took. So the presumably they all have equal shifts. It could be that there's a different number of watches in the day than there are at night, but nonetheless, if there are, the night watches are all going to be of equal time. Let's just summarize the Gemara up until now. We saw two views. One is that there are three watches at night. One is that there are four watches at night. Each one cites scripture in order to give evidence for their view. You might say that there are three watches at night because Gideon, in the book of Judges, it says that Gideon was standing at the beginning of the middle watch, which implies that there are three watches. The other opinion would say the Gemara has a teretz, has a justification for Rebbe also. Rebbe would say, it's one of the middle watches, no big deal. And Rebbe Natan would say, that's not good enough. On the flip side, Rebbe says that there are four watches because King David wakes up at midnight and has a plural watches ahead of him, meaning two. The Gemara has two justifications for Rebbe Natan against Rebbe's reading of King David's practices during the night. One possibility is that it's referring to one watch at night and one watch during the day. And the other possibility is that a watch and a half could also be referred to as being plural. Okay. The only thing that I'll say here is that this Gemara is clearly inconclusive. I mean, there are two views. Either there are three watches or there are four watches. And each one cites psukim, cites scripture. And each one has evidence against the other's reading of scripture. So we're not left with anything here. We're left with two possible understandings. Either there are three or there are four. I would like to suggest that each one has a completely different view of nighttime. And that view of nighttime is reflected in the scripture that they choose to cite as evidence for their opinion. Specifically, Rebbe Natan cites Judges and the story of Gideon. And Rebbe cites King David in Psalms. Let us begin by reading a little bit of the story of Gideon. You're right, but you're right that it could be, but that's not one of the opinions is not five or seven. The opinions are just three or four. You're right. In principle, if you're just reading Judges, there could have been more watches, but that's okay. Turn to the next page. Page 2, it's double-sided. We're going to break character a little bit. We don't normally do this in this class. But over the next, let's take, 4 or 5 minutes or so to read chapter 7 of Judges, which I've included here on pages 2 and 3, in both Hebrew and English. It begins on page 2 on the left-hand side. Begins on page 2 on the left-hand side and continues on to page 3 on both the right and the left. So let's take a few minutes just to read the story of Gideon. Up until, it's pretty much relevant only up until the point that I've marked. I put an arrow, by the way, on page 3 on the verse that the Gemara quoted, just to highlight that verse. What is this chapter about? Well, let's begin by summarizing. Where does it start? What happens at the beginning of the chapter?
Gideon is leading the Israel against the Midianites.
A likely scenario in the Bible, right? A lot of wars against the Midianites and the Philistines and all that.
Yeah.
So what happens?
The one thing that God says that they had too many troops, that if they attacked them with that many troops, they might think that they did it themselves, that they didn't, it wasn't done by the hand of God. So he put together a way to reduce the number of troops and then set up the thing so that they would defeat the Midianites and would obviously be through the hand of God.
Okay, very good. Anyone else have more to add to the summary? Okay. The basic thing that I would like to point out is that if we had to sort of put together in one sentence what's going on here, Gideon is leading a war. He's leading Bnei Israel in a war against Midian. We're going to take a few more minutes now to read the psalm. It is a very long psalm, which begins... I didn't have the heart to enlarge this one from my Bible, so because it's too many pages. So if you look on page 4, 5, and 6, it's a very, very long psalm. In order to make it easier to follow, I labeled A, B, so you know sort of where to go. It's right to left each time, but you don't really have to read. I mean, you can kind of skim this. It's a psalm. It's a psalm in which God is praised, like many of the psalms. Right. What is the general sense you get from this psalm?
Self-frustration. He wants peace. He believes in the Lord. He's asking for the Lord. I think Travis.
Yeah. And he's frustrated with what's going on in the world, but he's turning to God and praising God and right.
And his rules in the past or forever to the children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he notes that whatever goes on in the world, he loves God, he loves God's laws. He turns, right? I turn my heart to your decrees and not to love of gain. That everything is about sort of it's a very spiritual psalm. One that rejects rejects things in the world, rejects this worldliness, and turns towards God and towards other worldliness. Let me just sum up, because we have a couple of people that walked in a little bit later. We saw that there were two opinions in the Gemara as to how many watches there are at night. Are there three watches at night, which means that each one is 4 hours, because the night is 12 hours? Or are there four watches at night, each one being 3 hours? And the Gemara cited biblical sources for each opinion. The opinion that says that there are three watches apparently comes from the book of Judges, where Gideon is standing in the middle watch, which means there is a middle watch. Must be three. The other opinion, the opinion of Rebbe, is that there are four watches, and he gets it from King David. King David wakes up at midnight And when he looks ahead, he sees two watches, which means that there are four watches in total, because if there are 12 hours and each one is 3 hours, then, you know, at midnight he looks ahead, and there are two watches ahead of him. And we saw that the Gemara can find teirutzim. It can find ways to justify each opinion on each pasuk. And so, because of that, because the Gemara is able to really, you know, explain both verses according to either opinion, I think that it's very significant to look at where each rabbi originally got the opinion from. And that it's very significant to get the opinion from either the story of Gidon and Sefer Shoftim, or this psalm from King David.
Yeah. And you're thinking that the difference between Ain and Sufi.
That's not what I'm thinking. That's a good thought. But it's not. That's my thought is more about the content of the of each one.
He prefaces the time to say Shema, right?
What?
Didn't you preface this in terms of the latest time to say Shema?
Right.
So what ultimately at the end of the conclusion, what is the latest time?
That's right. No, ultimately, this is it's not just an agadic passage, right? Yeah. It's not just the agadata. Yeah. It's also halachic import. That's absolutely right. But I'd like to suggest that it has to do with one's view of the night. We know that there are, you know, if you just think about our Torah literature and also world literature in general, night can have very, very different connotations and different significances and different meanings depending on context. And I think that the two sources, this psalm of King David and the war in Sefer Shoftim, reflect those two ways of looking at night. Night can be likened to war, a time of crime, right? Nighttime is when crime happens, when it's dark. And I think that's ultimately the view that Rabbi Natan takes when he says, well, we have to figure out something about the night. Look at Sefer Shoftim and the story of Gideon and the war. That's night. In fact, in Hasidic writings, galut, exile, is often likened to night. And indeed, those of you who've been to the class in the past know that we've already read a passage in Brachot in which there were three watches at night, and in the third watch, God is crying for his children who are exiled and for the loss of the temple in Yerushalayim. The three watches at night is the kind of night that is darkness and gloominess and exile. On the other hand, we know there's a very different view of night. On Shavuot, we spend all night learning because it's considered particularly appropriate to learn at night. And we will continue learning in Masechet Brachot that King David wakes up to praise God at night because of the quiet, the peacefulness at night. I mean, from my personal experience, not King David or anything like that, but I know that when I have a lot of work to do, I get up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and that's when my best work has been done, whether it was, you know, papers in school or sermons or anything like that. It gets done at 4 o'clock in the morning when there's nothing else, there's nobody else, you know, bothering you. It's all, there are no distractions at 4 o'clock in the morning. It's all,
if you're awake. If you can be awake.
That's right. If you can be awake. If you can be awake, there are no distractions.
Yeah.
And that's really Psalm Kuf Yud Tet, Psalm 119, praising God in the middle of the night. Out of character, I'd like to read a passage from the Zohar on page 7 and 8. The Zohar reflects that there are these two very different ways of perceiving night on the right-hand side. By the way, I asked a friend of I had no idea that there was this full Sansino translation of the Zohar until Friday when I said I had a passage in the Zohar I wanted, and I didn't know that it was fully translated. I was going to have the Hebrew. Oh, so there was once a Sansino Zohar here? But thankfully, we don't have to read it in the original Aramaic. We can read it in English here. Rabbi Shimon quoted the verse, "But none saith, where is God, my maker, who giveth songs in the night?" Said he, "The name Eloka here refers to her who sings perpetual hymns of praise, to the king whose is the peace, who is like a lamp that never ceases to receive the light of supreme joy from the fullness of his joy. Hence, who giveth songs in the night, all those stars which shine in heaven do sing and praise the Holy One, blessed be He, all the time that they are visible in the sky." Right? The night is the time of the stars, and the stars sing God's praise. "And the angels above sing the praises of their Lord in successive watches of the night. By night, various sides are active in different ways. At the beginning of the night, when darkness falls, all the evil spirits and powers scatter abroad and roam about the world. And the other side, that's the Sitra Achra, the evil side, sets forth and inquires the way to the king from all the holy sides. As soon as the other side is roused to this activity here below, all human beings experience a foretaste of death in the midst of their sleep. As soon as the impure power separates itself from the realm above and descends to begin its rule here below, three groups of angels are formed, who praise the Holy One in three night watches, one following another, as the companions have pointed out. But whilst these sing hymn of praise to the Holy One, the Sitra Achra, as we have said, roams about here below, even into the uttermost parts of the earth, until the Sitra Achra has thus departed from the upper sphere. The angels of light cannot unite themselves with their Lord. This is a mystery comprehensible only to the wise." And this continues. It's a very interesting take that at the same time, night is the time the angels view as the proper time, the best time, to praise God and to sing these hymns of praise. And on the other hand, the Sitra Achra roams the world and commits evil at night as well, perpetuates evil at night. And so going back to our Gemara, we're not reaching a conclusion, a halacha conclusion right now, but the views that there are three watches or four watches, if they really come from these sources, the source to which one of the Tanaim, each one of the Tanaim would look to find their answer, I think is very significant. And there really are these two sides to the night. And I think that this is one way that we can understand this debate between Rabbi Natan and Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. That Rabbi finds the answer to the night in King David's Psalm, whereas Rabbi Natan finds it in the War of Gideon. Presumably both would agree that there are these two aspects to the night, but each one chooses to focus on a different aspect of the night in answering these questions in the Mishnah.